Hi, and welcome to T-Bell Talks. I'm Campbell McKinnon, here with Matt Wang, my special guest.
Very excited to be here, Campbell.
This will be a new, possibly weekly occurring podcast. Me and Matt are doing, we might be bringing on guests, talking about different topics. Today, we're going to be focusing on music, specifically the music of Brockhampton, the latest American boy band taking the hip-hop game by storm. Their two latest albums, Saturation 1 and 2. Third project slated to drop sometime later this year, potentially. It's a mystery. So, with that being said, Matt, do you have anything to say about Saturation 1?
Released
earlier this year, I believe, in what, March or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Sometime around then.
Yeah, well, so Brockhampton is it's like a rap group, but they're kind of branding themselves as a boy band. They're from Texas. So, to be honest, my only exposure to rap from people in Texas was Travis Scott when he said H-Town several times on, you know, Rodeo and stuff like that. So, it's when I first went into Brockhampton, all I knew was I heard all this hype. Everyone's telling me, "Oh, Brockhampton's like album of the year, you know, better than Kendrick, you know, almost as good as Lil Pump, that kind of thing." So. I didn't know that much going into it, but when I heard Saturation 1, and I actually gave it to listen to, I think, 2 or 3 weeks after it came out, because I didn't really believe the hype at first, I actually really, really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what's cool about the setup, as you said, they're kind of like a boy band in the way that their member group is really diverse. And in the same way that, you know, a K-pop group like EXO or BTS,
yeah.
They have, you know, they have a nice guy for every single girl that is watching. Brockhampton has a really good roster of a lot of different diverse artists who provide different things to the scene. And I think it's actually kind of facetious for us to say that Brockhampton is just a rap group, because they also have songs where it's just some dude singing, right? And they have all these different artists that are able to piece together different flows. You know, Matt Champion is this very, you know, laid back, cool cat, you know, he's like, he's chill.
Yeah.
You have a very excited, you know, very loud Merlin Wood. And you have all these different kind of, like, Amir Van's a really smooth, silky kind of rapper. Dom is an amazing lyricist. You have all these different kinds of people. And those personalities, I thought, was really cool because every single song was different and they were all really well done.
What does Kevin do?
Kevin, oh yeah, good. Yeah,
he's the hook maestro, I think.
Yeah, so Kevin Abstract is the spiritual leader of Brockhampton. And he's also, I think, the director of the group or something. So
he does a lot of the artistic direction. He does the music videos too.
Yeah, so
very talented
guy. So in Saturation 1, he sang almost all of the hooks. In Saturation 2, they kind of changed it around a little. But Saturation 1, Kevin Abstract. He also has a few verses. He raps about being gay in the hip-hop community and what that means, which I think is really relevant when you have, you know, these people. Like Matt Champion said, he grew up on Eminem. Eminem has lines where he's, you know, murdering gay people and killing gay babies. And, you know, you have people like DMX who make entire songs, like Where the Hood At, where he's just bashing gay people. So I think it's really cool to have these different perspectives. And you also have, you know, like Amir Van. Amir Van dropped out of architecture school.
That was Merlin.
Shizzle. That's Merlin. Yes, that's
that
right.
That's Merlin.
Sorry, yeah. Merlin dropped out of architecture school to be a rapper. Like, that's a insane thing. But yeah, so... Sorry, Kevin Abstract. What do you think?
I think the guy's he's talented from his solo work too. I was pretty impressed. Brockhampton is a very interesting group for me. I think they're signifying a change in music, in my opinion.
Ooh.
I think the rap recently overtook like rock music or guitar music as like the most popular genre on the Billboard charts. And I think with this, that Brockhampton calling themselves a Southside One Direction, as they state in, I think it was Boys or something like that, one of their songs of their first album, or second album.
First album.
So I think it's just a definitely, they're coming in at a very interesting time in music history. And I think especially with their kind of backdrop of like producers, it's also important to mention that Brockhampton isn't just the singers that we mentioned. There's also, I think there's at least 7 or 8 other members of
they have 8 listed on Genius
of of producers that live in-house with him. I think they're, what, 15 of them in total? Something like that? That all they do is, like, they basically just make music. And it's very, very interesting to me how they do that.
Yeah, it's insane. And, like, a fun fact, it's like, I know Kevin tweeted on Twitter, not on Instagram or Facebook, he tweeted on Twitter saying they recorded almost 100 songs for Saturation 1 and almost 100 for Saturation 2.
It's nuts.
And the final product is, like, you know, 17 songs, and there are a few skits on here, too. So the amount of work ethic they must have put in and how many tracks they made, that's insane. They were able to cut down the quality, and that's why we're able to get all these songs that, you know, every single song feels like it's, like, fresh. It's good, you know?
It feels like it's a banger.
Yeah. Well, actually, I want to talk about that for a moment. I think that a lot of the songs here are bangers, right? Like, Gold, for example. Gold, oh. That one's a spicy banger. But the thing is, you know, a cool thing about Brockhampton is a lot of their songs have very different aesthetics to them, right? Like, I think it's Bump. Bump has a very, you know, a very aggressive verse, but the hook is actually really melodic, and it's kind of like, it's very quiet, toned down, someone's just singing, no drum, you know, no bass, that kind of thing. So I think it's actually really cool how they're able to both make music that bangs, but also make, you know, this very slow, chill kind of rap, like Isaiah Rashad, or... Earl Sweatshirt, I guess. Like,
yeah.
I don't know that much about Sean Rap, but...
Maybe, like, Post Malone? Maybe like that?
I don't know. I have opinions on Post Malone, but...
Whatever.
Yeah, I didn't know he was part of ASAP Mob, but that's
Post Malone's part of ASAP Mob? Excuse me?
Yeah.
Since when?
Since forever. So is Playboi Carti.
What?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
So they were both on the new ASAP Mob album, which I wasn't a fan of, but...
But were they features, or were they...
No, like, they've always been part of the ASAP Mob.
I mean, I wouldn't say always. Post Malone's what become famous. Anyway, we're getting off topic.
Yeah, so Brockhampton,
pretty cool.
Yeah,
back to Saturation 1.
Yeah, so with Saturation 1, they also have these short, like, skits, like Tupac, which is kind of like a skit, it's kind of like a song. It's also really cool, though, because even though there's 1 minute thing, they have this really cool auto-tune kind of vibe in their album, where they kind of modify these voices to make
them... I hope they go easy with them on the next Saturation. Yeah,
interesting. So
I think it's getting a little bit old.
I don't know. I liked it a lot.
It too, don't get me wrong. I just think when it's on, like, every other song, it gets a little bit overdone. And I get that they're all, like, big, big Kanye fans, and that's where they get it from.
Yeah.
If you don't know, a lot of Brockhampton met off of a Kanye appreciation website.
KTT.
KTT. Never been on it. I think Kevin gave an interview about 808s and Heartbreaks, and how that was, like, what he grew up on. And if you listen to 808s and then listen to a Brockhampton album, it's very, very clear in their use of the production, and especially in the autotune, where that influence comes from.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's really prevalent on the song Fake, where
they're
rapping about how other rappers are being fake and they're real, and they use auto-tune to kind of emphasize their message. I thought that was an insanely cool use. I do think that, they could be a little restrictive when they try to put it everywhere.
What do you think of the skits?
I think they're interesting. I think that in terms of how well executed they are, I think they could have been a little better. So I have, like, a scale of how good versus bad a skit is on an album. So the good on my end is, like, the College Dropout. You know,
yeah.
I know. We actually, as a shout out, we actually recorded an initial podcast, episode 0, about Kanye. And one of the best things about the College Dropout is that the skits flow in pretty well with the songs, right? And you have, like, you know, the song, like, the intro skit, and then you get into, like, We Don't Care. It's, like, it's hilarious, right? You're like, this guy's telling kids about selling drugs.
Well.
But I think that Brockhampton just quite hasn't hit that level yet of skit potential, because the album, while each song is super cool and it gives you insight into the lives of Brockhampton, their creative process of starting out with 100 songs and then cutting them down means that there's not really a thematic idea, you know, in their entire album, similar to other records where, you know, Kanye will say, like, this album is about this thing, right? Or Kendrick will say, like, he's going to craft an album, you know, following this giant poem. So we don't really get that out of Brockhampton.
I think there's a bit of a distinction you need to make between, like, a Kanye skit and a Brockhampton skit. First off, Brockhampton skit isn't in English, which makes things complicated.
Yeah.
But second, I think the Kanye skits, they contribute to a story, but, like, they're also more of, like, in the College Dropout specifically for, like, comedic effect and have good comedic timing. I think the idea what I think the idea behind these, like, the saturation skits is it's going to be... They're releasing a movie with Saturation 2, like, by the end of this year, which is nuts, by the way. They're producing, like, a full movie. But I think the idea is, like, there's going to be some kind of, like, this grand story that'll unfurl with the final album.
It's like an ARG.
Yeah, and it's the skits center around, like, this character, Roberto, who speaks in Spanish. And from somebody who speaks a little Spanish myself,
big man.
Shout out to Ab Spanish out there, all my Ab Spanish scholars. He mentions burning down his house, talks to his dad, and I think begs for money or something like that.
So this also ties into the tags they use. So Roberto represents Robert. I don't know how to pronounce this dude's last name. Something like that. He's their producer and he also makes their website.
Yeah.
And that's his producer deck. Mi amo Roberto, and then he says something about like Jaden Smith or something like that. And it changes every song. So a lot of the skits do have to kind of relate to that imaginary character that introduces each of the songs. But at least for now, like I'm sure that when the College Dropout came out, people also weren't as into the skits as they were now, looking back with the whole picture. So I guess we see this movie, it might change our opinions.
Yeah, the skits in the College Dropout are a lot more clear.
Yeah.
And directly relate to the songs.
But at least this flows better than like Speeding Bullet to Heaven. Like that's my example of skits gone wrong. Like come on, man, Beavis and Butthead. I think Kid Cudi rebounded with his latest one, Passion, Pain, and Demon Slaying. But like, jeez, man.
When did he release that?
This year, I think.
Why hasn't Fantano done a review on that?
Yes.
He has?
I think so, yeah.
What do you think about it?
I think it's not bad, but I don't remember what he said. We can't be giving Fantano free stuff on our podcast. Come on.
Fine.
but yeah, I thought... so I think the skits are like pretty good, but they're not amazing. And compared to the quality of their songs, I think the skits could use some improvement. But I like the quality of their songs.
They were playing... Brockhampton was like just on tour...
Yeah.
They just toured, like, did a tour of the U.S. They didn't come to Canada. Or did they? Yeah, they did. No, they did. They fully did. They came to Toronto, but I just missed the show. They were playing clips from just, like, a random clip of something, like, in Spanish.
It
was from Roberto.
Yeah, they often do the Spanish dance. Yeah. Also, yeah, Saturation 3 previews.
There's definitely some masterminding going on behind this.
For sure.
I don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, we'll find out. Maybe we'll look back in this podcast in 3 years and be like, man, how could we not see that all along Kanye West was Jesus? And that was the message. You never know. Okay. I guess that's a good segue into Saturation 2.
Yeah, we kind of been talking about it, but...
Yeah, so unlike Saturation 1, I heard Saturation... I was waiting for Saturation 2 to come out. I was on the Genius page. I was, as the Genius editor, I was like, I am so ready annotate these lyrics. And I got some key annotations in pretty early.
Wow.
Which means I got a lot of Genius IQ. So
look at
your boy Matt Wang is kind of a big deal on Genius. But,
I just remember waiting for the day. They released it. It was... this one I definitely remember was released in August. Because I'm pretty sure it was actually August 10th. Like, I think I remember to the day that they released it.
Let's check on our website. Which, if Genius, if you're listening to this, you should sponsor this podcast. We give you quite a few.
Shoutouts.
Saturation 2.
It
released
the 25th. Ooh. Okay.
Ooh.
I was off by a number of days. Got the month right, though.
Yeah. But yeah, so Saturation 2. Brockhampton, I think, here improves upon the sound of Saturation 1 a little.
For sure.
Improvement. Yeah, and they kind of guide their albums. Here they kind of guide the direction of the music they're making into more self-reflective stuff, use more autotune, as you said earlier, and also showcase some other talent. But I think that overall, a lot of the strong benefits of Saturation 2 are quite similar to the benefits of Saturation 1. So do you want to talk about some stuff for it?
So my main praise of Saturation 2 was that I think all members were utilized far better in this album than the first one. You talked to me about how Joba was so much better on this album, I agree with you. I also think that Matt Champion comes out with some better verses. I think that, I think Dom is, again, great, but I also think kind of Amir and Kevin do a good job of, like, delegating some of the hooks and some of the...
Yeah, they took kind of a step back in terms of dominating each of the verses. But yeah, so Sweet is my favorite song. This is my favorite Paul Kendrick song. It's so smooth. I love it. And I remember, so Sweet came out on the day that Saturation 2 came out. And I watched the video, like, 5 times.
Yeah.
I was like, this is amazing. Yeah, so Sweet, few cool things about Sweet. So yeah, this is insanely enticing hook by Kevin Abstract. Twisting people up like licorice. It doesn't sound like a nice line, but trust me, it is better. I'm not giving enough credit. But so here, Joba. So Joba is one of the producers, but he's also one of the rappers for Brockhampton. And I think he has some lackluster verses on Saturation 1.
Yeah.
But here he really picks it up. And the cool thing about, I think, Saturation 2 in general is that each of the characters of Brockhampton play to their strengths more. And I think that we see that throughout the entire time. Like Joba, I don't think Joba is very good at making bangers.
Definitely not.
But
his style.
What he does in Sweet is he tells a story about what happened to him as a child, right? You know, he's growing up. His teachers tell him he's never going to succeed in life because he's not good at math and stuff like that.
He wanted to be JT.
Yeah, he wanted to be JT. He wanted to have frosted to cheese. But then he pursued his dreams and he beat everyone. And while he went through a lot of hardship, he had no money to his name back in Hollywood.
Yep.
He comes out on top, and now he's part of, like, the best boy band in the United States.
We've forgotten one member. I'm just remembering this now.
What?
Forgot a member. Bareface.
Okay. So Bareface...
The elusive Bareface.
Yeah, so Bareface is interesting because... So Bareface doesn't actually join most of the tracks with Brockhampton.
He's solo on Summer, though. He does the whole of Summer by himself.
And it's, like, it's a very non-rap kind of atmosphere.
Yeah,
it's like,
I would say that's the most variance that Brockhampton takes from their kind of formula.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Alabama Shakes.
A little bit, except, like, not a huge Alabama Shakes fan, but regardless.
But yeah, so...
I agree.
And then I think, yeah, talking about, like, the whole playing to their strengths, each of these songs, I think, on Saturation 2 has a better focus than it is on Saturation 1.
Yeah.
But this is kind of a hot topic in the hip-hop community. But, like, for example, Junkie. So Junkie... was, I think, the premier single, or the second single that
one
came out.
Yeah,
it was one of the singles for the album.
I think Gummy might have been the
Gummy
first single,
yeah,
and
true.
Maybe Junkie was second.
So on Junkie, you know, as soon as you hear Junkie, you're like, trash, junk, that kind of thing. And each of the rappers on the song talks about what makes them trash. So they go through their personal fears. This is where your boy Matt Wang earns some genius IQ. but on Junkie, you know, you have Kevin Abstract, who... in the past, alludes to this on Saturation 1, but he really makes it really, really, really clear here. His entire verse is about how him being gay has impacted his life. And I think that this is an important thing to have in hip-hop. Because while, you know, pop, I think, is miles ahead of the average Western liberal democracy and how liberal they are with gay people. Like, you know, like, I think r/pophead is, like, 50% gay. Like, that's insane compared to the average statistic. And, you know, Carly Rae Jepsen's, like, an icon, which, by the way, amazing artist. Just letting you know. I think in rap, you still have, like, rampant homophobia right now. So you have Eminem is the hugest one. And I think he did a hilarious bit on the interview where he kind of jokes that he's gay. But he really is homophobic in a lot of his songs. Even Rap God, like, released, like, 4 years ago, was him selling, you know, like, to kill gay babies.
Something
and
like
people like YG, for example, who's spoken out both against Asian people and also against gay people. Like, that's still problematic that you have this stuff happening.
One of the members of Migos... like, there was some drama about him saying something that was, like, homophobic.
It's probably Takeoff. No one remembers Takeoff.
Yeah. One of them.
Yeah, and then also there's, you know, a lot of the new wave of rappers are using the other F word a lot, which is kind of a little annoying. I don't think it's a good thing to say, but
a lot
whatever.
Of the SoundCloud rappers are.
Yeah, so, and then off of that, you know, Kevin saying, you know, I told my mom I was gay, why the, she ain't listening. I signed a pub deal and her opinion disappearing. He talks about how his mom's not really acknowledging the fact that he's gay, but pays the bills, so it's like whatever. And I think it's a very interesting perspective into the rap community because for us, as relatively privileged guys at UCC, our experience with homophobia is very different from a gay black guy living in Texas. You know
And Kevin, from what I understand, I think it's either estranged from his family to some respects or just doesn't have a lot of contact with them. And he's revealed before in interviews that he comes from a Mormon family. So obviously coming from like the kind of religious side of the southern US, being gay obviously carries a certain amount of weight to it, especially when we're talking about somebody who's black too. There's a lot of weight that comes with that, and the verse that you're talking about is really, really impactful when you take all of that, those factors into mind. And yeah, I think Kevin, he does a great job of illustrating that.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite Kevin verse. And then another verse I want to talk about is Matt Champion's verse on Sweet. So, okay, I love Sweet. I love Matt Champion.
Sweet is your favorite song.
This is like one of the smoothest lines or verses I've ever heard. And here, Matt Champion just shows how charismatic he is, which I think was one of his advantages on Saturation 1. But he kind of extends this more Saturation 2. So you're going to have to listen to the actual song, I guess, to get the real vibe of it. But that's what I liked a lot about Saturation 2. I think that Brockhampton plays through the strengths more. And while in the same way that Birds in a Trap, Same McKnight isn't really innovation for Travis Scott, it's him making what he's good at a lot better. And I can appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, no, definitely. Playing someone's strengths and an artist playing to their strengths can make a really, really fantastic song. Maybe we'll play a clip of Sweet. Stripped down to my skin and my bones. I love huskies, but I feel like a wolf. In a pack, but I feel all alone. I'm scatterbrained, man. Better off for the clone. And say hi, it's a palmer with race eyes doing weird shit. Like, this will make the biopic round up. Hit Zags, bees, get the winning things real quick. Bills still stacking to the ceiling. That was
not PG-13, so we're gonna pause that right there. But if you want to check it out, you can. I think that's a really smooth delivery. We can also probably edit this in, too.
That's true, we could edit it in.
But yeah, what do you think about Saturation 2? Anything else?
What's your
favorite song on it?
My favorite song? I like Swamp a lot. I think Swamp's good. I think Queer is really good too.
Queer is super cool.
I think the hook on Queer is really freaking catchy.
Right.
Do you think Saturation 2 is better than Saturation 1? What do you think?
Interesting. So I think I already kind of gave it away with how I framed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Saturation 2 is a lot better. I think Saturation 1 is definitely great, but there, Brockhampton still sounds a little disorganized. You know, they're putting Kevin Abstract in scenarios where they're asking him to compare mechanically to Amir or Dom, which isn't one of his strengths.
Exactly.
And as a result of that, some of the focus in their songs is a little trapped. Same thing with Joba, right? So I think here they get more focus in each song, and as I said earlier, you know, they play to their strengths. You get a storytelling song like Junkie, and that's where you get Joba. That's where you showcase Kevin. That's where you showcase all these people who, you know, are really good at telling stories. And you give Amir a little less time. And then you swap something like Jello, where Amir is able to blow your mind, I think. I think it's Jello. But so I think that was pretty cool. But what do you think?
So I agree with you. I think Saturation 2 is better than Saturation 1. My one criticism of it would be refines the sound that they kind of presented on Saturation 1, but it doesn't really innovate on it. And I know, personally, I have no problem with that. I think that there, before you can kind of move on to something new, you have to perfect a certain sound. My one fear is that if Saturation 3 isn't different in some way or doesn't bring something new to the table, I think it's not going to be received as well as the first two albums. I think Brockhampton shows like some variety, but I hope we haven't seen all of their tricks yet. I hope they can bring out some new stuff. But yeah, no, I love Saturation 2. I think it's a fantastic album.
I think what you're alluding to is kind of like the whole Kanye versus Aminé thing. So like Kanye, Yeezus, for example. So while Yeezus isn't that refined or polished, it's like him like pushing
an
entirely new sound since what, MBDTF. So and that's like that got a lot of acclaim, even though, you know, maybe Bound 2 could have had a little better lyrics about the sink. But on the flip, I think what we're seeing here with Saturation is kind of what happened with Aminé's album Good For You. I think it was a really great album, but Aminé doesn't improve off of Caroline. Like, his flow and his attitude is pretty similar to the singles that we heard. So yeah, like if Brockhampton perfects their sound, that's awesome. But the same thing with Travis Scott, their albums aren't going to be received that well if they just hit the same formula, you know. And yeah, what kind of other tricks do they have? Maybe Roberto hops on the track. Maybe there's a Spanish track. That'd be pretty interesting.
That'd be just they should end off the album with a Spanish track, all Spanish.
I can see that.
It'd be funny.
Okay, so good segue. Favorite member. What do you think?
My favorite member? I don't know. I go back between probably between Dom and Matt. I was not a fan of Dom on like my first listens through Saturation 1 and 2. I wasn't a fan of his verses. But I think the more you listen to him and kind of the more you read into his lyrics, he's very clever. He is a very talented lyricist in how he writes music. And Matt, I mean, how can you not love Matt? He's so chilled out. He's so laid back.
Thank you.
He just seems like a guy you just see and you'd be like, hey, how you doing? He'd be like, I'm good, man. I'm good.
Yeah. I gotta agree with you on Matt. If I had to pick a top two, I guess it's hard to name the best rapper in the group. I would go with Amir and Matt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, Amir has such a smooth voice. Like the dude, like every time he talks about like, you know, his like I can feel his emotions through his voice, but it all sounds like amazingly like there, you know? And I think that's a quality like that people kind of underrated is, you know, a rapper's voice. And not only like the literal sense of the word voice, but the vocabulary he uses, his tone, that kind of stuff. That's super cool. And even when he has a short like 5 or 6 bar verse, like you can tell like this is a beer. Matt, dude, listen to Sweet, okay? That is so smooth. Like Matt, his flow is insanely like it's not like mechanically intensive. You know Eminem, like Eric B and Rakim or whatever, right? But he's like, the stuff rhymes, and the stuff, like, it's, you feel like, yeah, like, I want to listen to you talk more about huskies and how you feel like a wolf. Woo! And just, he has this kind of personality that makes you want to listen to him. So that's something I think that is also pretty cool in the age of Lil Pump and XXXTentacion.
Amir's got to learn to vary up his flows.
That's true. Amir has a very static, and we saw that more, I think that goes along with their criticism and Saturation too. Amir doesn't push, like, while he gets better at his flow, he doesn't try different kind of stuff. And that can get boring. I can get that for sure.
All right, so what are we going to end off? We talked a lot about Saturation 3, so I think we should just leave it at...
We're excited.
Yeah. We hope we hear something different and interesting that blows our minds.
They already released a single. So the
did
night
they? When?
So the night they released Saturation 2, they released a single for Saturation 3.
Yeah, come on.
And no.
What was it, Follow or something?
Yeah, I think it was Follow. Yeah, you're right. So that was interesting. I actually didn't like it that much. But they're trying something new. Oh, yeah. So Follow. And it's like, it's Kevin going back to rapping a lot more. I don't know how I felt about that. But
yeah,
so excited for Saturation 3. You know, we'll see what happens.
There's so much speculation about it. Kevin, like, tweeted, well, first off, Kevin doesn't have any social media anymore. It's all deleted.
Yeah,
no Instagram, no Twitter, no nothing.
I used to follow him on Twitter.
The infamous Twitter, Kevin Twitter. No, he tweeted like a date, like October 11th, and then just nothing happened on October 11th. So,
what's
happening, Kevin? What's going on? But yeah, we'll see. They said it's going to come up by the end of the year, so it's only like 2 more months.
Yeah, has to be.
Yeah.
Unless it's like TurboGrafx-16.
That's
the Kanye thing. He's like, I'm gonna drop 3 albums in 2016 and didn't.
How many did he drop in 2016?
One. That was it. That's kind of disappointing, but you never know. Okay, so to end off,
what are we
listening to this week? How about you, Cam?
All right, so this week, are we gonna go new music or just music in general?
Just like, what are you listening to in general? Like,
what
has been on your playlist this week?
On my playlist this week, I listened to Bob Dylan, actually, over the weekend.
Okay.
Listened to Blood on the Tracks. I listened to the new Injury Reserve EP, Drive It Like a Stolen. Fantastic, fantastic
EP.
Very, very good.
Very good, I agree.
And then the last one I listened to was actually a post-punk album. I listened to a British band called Idols. They released an album in 2017, like earlier this year, called Brutalism, and I listened to that, and I quite liked that. It's very very brutal album, as as the name suggests. Not different genres.
Different genres?
Different genres.
I'm pretty ignorant about that kind of stuff. Yeah, I have the opportunity to learn. So, for me, also love the Injury Reserve album.
Yes.
After I heard their first song, Oh Shizzle, from Floss, I was really excited. And they have more chill vibe here.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, again, like, I'm a huge fan of Isaiah Rashad as well,
yeah.
So it's pretty similar.
What's your favorite song of them?
Probably Colors.
Colors?
It's kind of like dark, but it's like...
North Pole.
North Pole is also not bad. It's
the hook on North Pole.
Song I didn't like was 10 Tenths. And then
I didn't mind it, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, so yeah, that's that. But I didn't listen to any new music, so I gave another listen to Injury Reserve album, because I listened to it when it came out. I re-listened to Halsey's Hopeless Fountain Kingdom. So she gets a lot of flack on social media for her views. Like, I don't know. Like,
a lot of flack.
If you know who I am, you'll know that's not as big of a deal for me. But I did enjoy her music. I think it's pretty good. And we can talk about that. I also...
What do you listen to, Matt?
I also listened to the Lil Pump album.
Interesting.
I did not enjoy it.
Did not enjoy.
No, I did not, because everyone was like, Matt, this is a great album. Lil Pump dropped out of Harvard to save the rap game, and I was like,
wait, are you?
No, so it's a joke.
Yeah,
that's what he's our age, but so I gave it a listen. Like, come on, man. Like,
trash.
Like, Gucci Gang is him saying the word Gucci Gang a lot, and that's really the entire song. I mean, obviously it's the verse
trash.
And stuff. I wasn't a huge fan of it. I can't see why people would enjoy it, but it's really not my kind of thing. So those are the three things. Oh, I also re-listened to Telephone's album, or No Name's album, Telephone. No Name is like this chill, one of the few female rappers in the rap game.
I don't know her.
Yeah, she and Chance used to collaborate a lot. I think.
Interesting.
She's pretty cool. Like, it's very chill as well. I'm a big fan of that. So that's what I was listening to.
All right. On that note, I think that's where we're going to wrap up. You've heard our album suggestions for the week, what we're listening to. You've heard our thoughts on Brockhampton. So, from us here at T-Ball Talks, until next time.
Yeah, and hey, if you got your own opinions, and you think, man, Matt is terrible at rating albums, let us know. We'd love to talk to you guys, maybe get people on the podcast.
Send us
an
angry email or Facebook message on why we're wrong.
Yeah,
and maybe we'll respond to you.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot for listening.
Thank you for having me. Getting on here is what I meant. You're my guest, not the other way around.
Yeah. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Until next time.
Until next time.